At the top, at the top.
We're learning top, top, top. Tanya. Higaya Sakaide. Page 225. We're in the middle of the 8th chapter of Higaya Sakaide, which begins Area Tzedakos Matzmi Yeshuais on page 224. And we're now at the paragraph on page 225, which is also Kuf Yud Gimel, beginning with the words Ach Ha'inyon Hu. Just a little bit of background to reconnect us with the beginning of the chapter, which is that the chapter began with a quotation of a pasuk, which says Zarea Tzedakos Matzmiach Yeshuais, that one sows, he who sows righteousness will make grow salvation. So the Alter Rebbe is concerned with analyzing what is a connection between the concept of doing a righteous act. In particular, the word tzedakah means connected with the word tzedakah, which means charitable acts, and the word zaria, which means to sow. We don't sow charity, we give charity. So how does sowing connect up with that concept? And secondly, matzmiach yeshuas, you make grow salvations. Again, salvation comes, it appears, it's bestowed upon us by God. What's this concept of it growing? Sowing and growing. So he's going into that. Basically, he focuses on what the rabbis say in the Talmud, that Rabbi Elazar used to give a coin to a poor man and then pray. Why did he bother seeking out a poor man to give him a coin before he prayed? Because when we pray, we don't necessarily automatically get a response from heaven, and we don't automatically find our own emotional state turned on just because we decided to daven. Mm-hmm. You know, a person could open a prayer book and say the words and be totally uninspired, and even his words might have little effect above in heaven as well. You know, requests can be made and they can be denied. You know, please could I have? No, yeah, you can't. Yeah. Prayer isn't automatically effective. So what makes the prayer effective?
Action.
Well, this action of giving a coin to a poor man, now we have set up in motion, or Rabbi Elazar who did it, he set up in motion a mechanism where God says like this, the heavenly court says like this, this man gave a coin to a poor man. He's hungry, he needed breakfast, he gave him, you know, 50p to go and buy a breakfast.
Yeah.
Did that poor man owe the rich man anything? No. Does he deserve it in any way? Does the rich man owe him in some way?
No.
And yet the rich man gave something he didn't have to give to a person that didn't necessarily deserve it.
Oh, no.
Ah.
So heaven says...
If that's the case, you know what? Oh, now this rich man, doesn't have to be a rich man, any man, and this man that gave the coin, he's now davening to heaven, to God, so he doesn't deserve it to get what he needs. But you know what? We'll give it him.
The laws of universal cause and effect.
Yeah. And he set up a mechanism whereby his own action of giving where it's not necessarily deserved will result in him receiving something he doesn't necessarily deserve. And that might include an inspiration that comes down from heaven as well. The result of the prayer can be twofold. One is that his prayer is answered. He needs panos, he needs to make some money for the day. And the other is that the actual prayer itself should be inspired, because a prayer could be totally cold and uninspiring as well. So that is the mechanism that we're talking about over here. Okay, so now he goes into it in more detail. The reference I just told you, Achainyun Hu, Adech Moshel, Kemosh, Zoyim Zarin, and Notim Garim, Shashi Boiles, Fatimechas, Mea Zerev, or Ilan, Viperosa, Mea Garin, Eino Muhusamat, Smithson, Shala Zerev, Garin Club. The idea behind it is, by way of example, that when you sow a seed, or you plant, Garin is also a seed, you plant different kinds of seeds, the Shibolus means the ear of corn, which grows from that seed, or the tree and its fruits, which grow from a seed, because a seed can give rise to any kind of result depending on what the seed is. You know, you can have a seed of a wheat plant, and you'll get an ear of corn, an ear of wheat. And if it was a seed, it could be a little apple seed. It's the same size, or even smaller than a wheat grain. Mm. Could be. The size of the seed is irrelevant to the final size of the creature or object or tree or whatever. Right. Like, you know, an acorn is also quite small, bigger than an apple pip, and it gives rise to a gigantic tree like an oak, whereas an apple tree is quite a small tree. But it's irrelevant. You know, you can have a very small seed and a very big result. Yeah. That's not the point. The point is the seed, and what grows from it is incomparable to the seed.
Right.
You know, an apple tree that grows from an apple pip. What is an apple pip? It's a little bit of woody material.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like an apple. It's not juicy. Doesn't give blossoms. This little pip is an ugly little brown woody object that you wouldn't even notice. And it gives rise to apples and blossoms and branches. So the thing that comes out of it doesn't seem to relate to the origin. So it's not Muhusamatsmutsan Shalazay. It's not what comes out. You can't compare the essence of it to what the original seed was. Ki Muhusamatsmutsam Kolavanirkaboris, because the seed itself actually rots away even before it gives rise to the tree. The Koyachatsumeshaboris Atzma, Hua might see Vamagadal Lashiboris for Ilan Pirosa. And what is it that makes the seed grow into the tree or the ear of corn or whatever it is? That is the power of growth which is there in the ground. I mean, looking at it from a botanical point of view, you know, we know there are various chemicals in the earth,
yeah,
and they get together with the cell of the germ cell in the seed. So most of the seed disappears completely, it rots away. It's got to rot away to reveal that little single cell that from which is going to grow the whole thing. The rest of the actual seed is food for that cell.
Yeah.
So that rots, you know, to make the food, and then starts to grow this new creature, this new growth. Rakshena mitzim megala koicha lechutz meakoicha lapoil ki im al yidei azera va'agarin sherekovim ba'oretz v'kola kol koicha mekoicha tzmeh shebaoretz v'nisachtu. But there is also the absolute necessary condition that there has to be a seed there. We just said that the whole tree comes from the koyach hatzmeh shebaoretz, the power of growth which Hashem has put into the earth. So we could say, oh, if that's the case, you know what, I'll just sort of scratch a bit of earth, and the koyach hatzemeach, the power of growth will make an apple tree grow.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. You've got to start, you've got to have both. You've got to have this minuscule seed, the apple pip, and you have to have koyach hatzemeach boretz.
Yeah.
You've got to have the little sort of trigger to make the koyach hatzemeach, the power of growth, which is there in the ground. You've got to make it, you've got to focus it. Yeah. It's there all the time, but it's unfocused. If you just leave soil fallow, it'll remain fallow. There's no focus. The seed focuses where the power should come out. The power of growth then comes out in the seed, and it grows up with the tree. And when the two have united, the seed which has rotted and just gone to almost nothing, and then the power of growth in the earth, the two acting together, then you get a result of the beautiful tree or growth or whatever comes out of it. And they become unified. And then the power of growth which is there in the earth will then bring out its potential to an actuality and produce the nice tree. And then it sort of gives its mashpia, means it influences and gives life into the seed to make grow this ear of corn, which will then be like the original seed. The ears of corn that come out, each one is a seed. But much more than the original seed that went in. So the first thing is quantity. that what grows out is much greater in quantity than the original seed that was put in, because that helps us to understand why a farmer is willing to, like, if you look at a farmer logically, he's doing something that looks very stupid. Here he has got a bags and bags full of wheat germ, wheat seed, not wheat germ, wheat seed, from which you can make bread. So he's got a few sacks of grain, and he can make 50 loaves of bread, 100 loaves of bread. So that's food for his family, it's got value. And what does he do? He goes out to the field. I'm a sugarner. He throws them all over the field. Throws away good food. It looks illogical if you don't know what's going to happen. But because Hashem has put into nature that by that investment you get back manyfold, it's not just 20%, you know, interest or 10% interest what you put in the bank, you're getting manyfold that each ear, each grain that gives forth, you know, in an ear of corn, there may be 20, 30, you know, seeds coming out of each ear. So it's a manifold increase. That is in quantity and also in quality. The chaim peiros harbel in anachas, and also many, many different fruits. So, you know, one apple tree can give you, you know, kilos and kilos, maybe 50 kilos or 20 kilos, 30 kilos of apples. V'gam mehusam v'atzmusim shel ha'peiros mehulam be'ile rav v'atzim l'mayla malim mehusam v'atzmusim shel ha'garin on the tour. And not only in quantity, but also in quality. Meaning that the very thing which comes out of the seed, such as the fruit on the tree, their very essence is far superior in all ways than the original seed. With the case of the wheat, we are saying it's multiplied up in quantity, because it's actually the same in quality. The seed goes in, and many seeds come out on the ear of corn. In the case of a tree, it's not just quantity, but quality as well, because the apples that you get off the tree are completely different to the original seed. The original seed is this little brown pip, and what you got out of it is lovely juicy apples. So it's quantity and quality. And similarly with other fruits of the earth, which grow from seeds like kishuin is cucumbers. And the reason why this is able to happen is because this little seed is harnessing the power, the life force which Hashem has put, the koyach atzmeh shebaras, the power of growth which Hashem has put into the earth, and now that seed harnesses it, focuses it, and we know that the earth has the potential to make anything grow. This is the unbelievable miracle of Hashem's creation, that whatever you put in the ground seems to have the ability to make that thing grow. The ground doesn't say, well, you know, I'm only able to grow apples. You know, put an apple seed in, I'll grow you apples. Put a pear seed, I'm sorry, we're not doing pears today. It doesn't work like that. The ground has got the potential. It's got the koyach hatzomeach, which is, it's called the koyach hayuli. It's like an infinite power.
Yeah.
And it'll service anything. You can grow bananas and apples and kiwis and avocados. Doesn't matter what, it'll make anything, as long as the climate's right, obviously. Not talking, but that's climate, that's nothing to do with the ground. And, that's to do with the heat of the climate.
The right soil.
Bagarinim as ruin boris enim elakeni sarusa de letato hanikras v'shem aloas man b'kisfer rizal. So what is the role of the seed in all of this? That is where this moshel starts to come interesting. The seed which is in the ground is like, and it's a result, that's like an awakening from below. It's like the little trigger. It's the focus trigger that makes that tremendously powerful, infinite power of growth in the earth. Oh, that kicks it off. It needs that little act. Somebody said before, action. That it needs that little act to get the process going. And that is called Haloas Man. Now man stands for Mayim Nukvim. Because there is, in the writings of Arizal, of course, Rabbi Yitzhak Luria, the great Kabbalist of 500 years ago, He didn't write so extensively, but he taught extensively. And all our knowledge of Kabbalah and Hasidus originates basically through him. I'm not saying from him, but through him. He's the great expert of 500 years ago, on which all later authorities basically depend. So he writes this concept of Allah's man, Mayim Nukin. So what does Mayim Nukin mean? Well, you've got Mayim, mad and man. Mayim Dukhurin and Mayim Nukin. So Mayim Nukin means, and then Loshon Nekeva, Nekeva means female. So male and female is the concept that, in concept terms, the male, Hashem, plays the role of male. We know when the Torah was given, Hashem is the Chosn, and the Jewish people are the Kala,
the bride.
And the Torah is the Nabon, the gift,
the gift,
or whatever. But Hashem is the Chosn, and we're the Kala. Shir Hashirim, the Song of Songs, is a love story between
God and His people.
Exactly. Well,
husband,
so Hashem is the
husband and wife, no?
But like husband and wife, yeah. So Hashem is the man, and the Jewish people are the woman. So that is the relationship. So when Hashem initiates something in that relationship, like the husband initiating something with his wife, that's called mad, which means Mayim Dechurim, male waters, meaning it's come from above, it's come from Hashem. Hashem is reaching out towards us. When we, being the Kala, the wife, the Jewish people, the single Jew, it could be an individual Jew, reaches up towards God, we're seen to be the female in that relationship.
Female waters.
So it's called female waters, which means Isarusa de la Tata. Another terminology which he brings over here is Isarusa de la Eile, Isarusa de la Tata. It's the same concept with different terminology. Isarusa means an awakening. De la Eile from above. That is Mayim Dechurim, that's Hashem reaching out to us. And Isarusa de la Tata, an awakening from below, is us reaching out towards Hashem. The same thing, but just a different terminology. So now the seed in the ground is this trigger which is compared to an awakening from below. Because the earth has got all these powers. It's able to bestow tremendous powers to make anything grow. But it will not do it on its own. It will wait until something triggers it off. Something's got to happen. Someone's got to do something first. So the farmer sticks in a seed and does whatever has to be done. He does all the watering and everything and everything else. And then the earth just gets wrong with it. You know, gardeners think they're great people. They made this grow. They didn't make anything happen. All they did was a little act of putting a seed in the ground. And Hashem does the rest. But it won't work without that seed. The mechanism will only begin when a trigger has happened, and that's the Isarusa de la Tata waiting from below. So now we're going to use this marshal to explain what we learned before about Rabbi Elazar giving the coin to the poor man before he davened. The coin is the little seed. That's the little act, the giving of the coin. And that awake, Hashem wants to give us everything. He's there, He's infinite, He's got all the blessings, He wants to bestow out everything on the Jewish people, everything on the world. God is a good, God is a good, the word God and good are connected, you know that. God is good in English, that's why He's called God. I'm serious. He's called the good God. Darkai shel hatoiv lehativ. It's the way of the good to want to do good to others. Hashem wants to give on Nashir without limit. But he's like the ground. He can't do it without a little bit of input.
Help.
You call it help. It's more like a trigger. It's an input. And we are the ones that have to do the input. He can't do it for us. Because it's like saying, well, earth, produce a seed and put that in. Doesn't go. The earth can't do that. It can only work with a seed. right?
It's a partnership.
It's a partnership, but the point about the partnership is that it won't start to work unless the Jew does a little act down here first.
It's 10%.
How much? 10%. Oh, you mean that's the amount of tzedakah. But one coin.
One coin is enough.
One coin is enough. I don't know if you heard. I mean, just tell you a little story because it illustrates this point. Did you hear of Bobby Vogel, Oliver Shalom? He passed away just now. Did you ever hear of him?
No.
You ever heard of him? Bobby Vogel. His name was Nossam Vogel, but he was colloquially known as Bobby. He lived in Golders Green, in Princess Park Avenue. You don't need to tell where that is, I'm sure. Yeah, 110 Princess Park. Now, he passed away last Thursday. They're getting up tomorrow morning. I mean, there are no words to describe the achievements of this man. He basically paid the shortfall for the Lubavitcher Boys Grammar School, which was founded nearly 50 years ago, about 45 years ago. He set it up, and over and above the fees and all the, you know, collecting, whatever it was short to pay the weekly wages,
he paid.
Not only did he set it up, but he kept it going.
Right.
I mean, he went collecting as well.
Yeah.
But with a shortfall. Then, after a number of years, the school started... basically, it was closed because there was... Basically, half of it moved over to Stamford Hill and other schools. Anyway, I won't go into the details now. The point is, it changed over to yeshiva.
Yeah.
Now you've got the Babbage yeshiva in Kingsley Way. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And he did the same thing with the yeshiva as well.
Yeah.
The yeshiva's been open about 30-odd years.
Yeah.
Maybe about 30 years. Yeah?
Yeah.
A bit less, maybe. And he did the same thing. The staff, the fees came in, some of them, whatever. Whatever the shortfall was every week, the staff got paid on time. They've never, ever been late with the wages. And that's only one thing. That was for a man of nearly 45 years has kept a Lubavitcher institution going. He probably put tens of millions into it over so many years.
Was this a rabbi?
No. Mr. Nossen Vogel Zeicher Tzadik Divracha. A tzadik of a man. But that's only one of the things which he did. He helped people individually. Achnosas Kala for, you know, a needy bride and anything and everything. Everyone made a beeline for his door. All the collectors and all the institutions.
Yeah.
The full story of what he did will never be told. But why I'm mentioning this, is because Rabbi Vogel here, they're no relation, by the way, Fivish Vogel, who's the executive director of Lubavitch over here, they're no relation at all. But anyway, he told over last Shabbos a story about how Nossam Vogel, Bobby Vogel, started the school. Basically, he perceived a need. His own son was coming up to that age of grammar school.
Yeah.
And he saw there was no
schools.
There was no school in Northwest London that fitted his
level
requirements.
Right.
So he sent a telegram to the Lubavitcher Rebbe to say, urgent need for a boys' secondary school in Northwest London. You know, please help. So the Rebbe's secretary didn't know which Vogel this was. So he sent the telegram back to Rabbi Vogel here in Stamford Hill and said, what do you know about this telegram? Is it from you? He said, no, it's not from me. So Rabbi Chodakov asked him to find out what it's all about. So he goes and finds out eventually who it is. And as a result of that telegram, just what's a telegram? It's just a request.
Yeah.
As a result of that, obviously the Rebbe's advice was, if you feel that strong, you know, maybe get involved and start something off. And then suddenly a building appeared in the suburb that was for sale.
Yeah.
And somebody helped them with a big mortgage. And they got some pupils. And within a few weeks, they had a school. But what did it come from?
One request.
One telegram. A telegram. And it was his feeling. He wanted, he needed, he felt, I've got to do something. He actually wasn't offering to do anything at the time, but he identified the need, and he felt enough about it, at least let me ask the Rebbe. And he sent a telegram to the Rebbe, from which has come so far, and Mir Tashem, it'll go on, there's no reason why it should ever end, so far, 45 years of Jewish education, of Torah education, in a school and a yeshiva, which has probably had thousands and thousands of boys going through its doors. Now, every year, there are 50, 60, 70 boys.
Yeah, I see them floating around.
Right. Multiply that up, that's like 700 every 10 years. Yeah. Talking about 3,000 boys who are now, many of the early ones have built, are grandfathers already.
Yeah.
So this one man, with one telegram, that is the seed. That's the man, that's the halos man, the mind nukvin, the isarusa deratat, the awakening from below. And Hashem says, oh, I've now got the little seed. Now I can start with my growth powers.
Yeah.
Hashem's got growth powers, like the ground has got growth powers.
Yeah?
The ground says, oh, I've got a seed here. It doesn't say what kind of seed.
Doesn't matter.
The seed will take care of what will grow out of it.
Yeah.
That'll determine what will grow. But whether it should grow, the ground just keeps going, pouring energy and life force and food and all the things that it needs into the seed. And then, whoopee, 10 years later, you got a massive oak tree. Or 10 years later, you got apples on Ashia. One tiny seed. And there are other stories like that, of how one person wrote one letter to the Rebbe, to here, to Lubavitch, offering something, suggesting something, and from all of that came generations. And that illustrates this point that we're talking about over here. And this, it really is, all the mitzvahs are like that. All the mitzvahs are like that. This thing of them giving a coin before davening, that's a very focused thing. Yeah. He wants to daven, he gives a coin, and it's focused around the concept of davening. But every single mitzvah that a Jew does is creating such a cycle, an energy cycle, and you don't know what's going to come out of it. It could come out in this world, and does, or it's both really. It comes out in the world to come as well. So this is and the amazing thing is that Hashem's response is totally disproportionate to what we put in. You can see from this mashal of the seed that all the Jew has done, effectively, equivalently, is just to take this little, ugly little seed. It's not very well embellished, because we're human beings, after all, can't manage that much. But he just tries, the ikkah is, I want to try something, I want to do something, and you do a little thing. And the rabbis actually put this in their own terms, and not in Chassidus, but in the Gemara, which is not, it's called Nigla, the revealed part of Torah, and they say, Pishu li kuchudai shel machat vani eftach lochem ke pesach, I think it says, shel ulam. Hashem says, you just open for me like the eye of a needle, and I will open to you like the doorway of a great magnificent hall. So all we're doing is making a little teeny opening, like the eye of a needle, a very small thing. And Hashem's response is to multiply up, millionfold, to the size of imagine the doorway going into, the Albert Hall. And that's the response. And this is with everything. So we're onto a very good investment process, aren't we?
Looks like
you put in a bit and you get back. When you put your money in your bank, you put £100 in, you get an extra £10 out if you're lucky.
Yeah.
This is putting a penny in and getting £1 million out. That's a fantastic investment, no?
Yeah.
Isn't it worthwhile to do a mitzvah or two?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what the Alter Rebbe is saying over here, and I think that is a logical point to stop at a very high and positive moment to realize what is the value of a mitzvah.